Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, now go, cat, go, but don't.
That's Carl Perkins bringing us back 17 to the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. The one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Steve DiBianco is our guest. He's executive director of NetChoice, netchoice.org. I encourage you to check it out, folks. When you do, you'll see what a leader Steve has been, what a yeoman he's been, how hard he's been working for you and me, whether you understand it or whether you know it or not. Steve has been fighting the dark side, the force. He's been fighting the disturbance in the force of the internet right now because of a decision President Obama made to completely disconnect America's influence on the internet. Now, Steve, thanks again for being here. NetChoice.org, folks, check that out. Steve, I said in an article a few months ago, maybe a year ago, in an article titled, if you want your internet, you might not be able to keep it. And I talked about this issue, and I warned people that the next stop, not the next stop for the internet governance, the next stop won't be the UN, but the second stop after that, maybe it may take 10 years, but the UN will wind up in control of the internet because they're looking for something to tax. It's what they want. They want something like this. And this is the kind of thing that I think Obama would be happy with. I think he'd be happy if the UN wound up controlling the internet. What do you think?
Yeah, Jim, the countries that get a vote at the United Nations, and every country gets one vote there, they share a long-term goal, perhaps, of generating revenue from the internet. But the most important goal they have is to control political speech, to control dissent.
Right.
And to censor content that would undermine their regimes in their country. And they don't need to control ICANN to do that. You understand well that a country like, let's say, Russia controls the access points to the internet, and they can actually stop content at its borders before it enters through the internet. They can't stop it all, and there's clever people that know how to tunnel through.
Right.
But for the most part, countries do a good job of censoring content within their borders. But what's frustrating to them is that critical content, websites that are critical of, say, Vladimir Putin, are still visible to eyeballs around the world.
Right.
And that is incredibly frustrating. And they want to be able to control
everyone
who sees it, not just what makes it into Russia.
And this is the peril that the internet has been put in, the jeopardy, as a result of President Obama's decision to completely cut, as you call it, the tether of the government onto the internet.
Well, the censorship we talked about, it will always happen, regardless of Obama's decision. But the censorship, Jim, happens at the edge of the internet. It happens when it enters the Russian borders, or it happens on the computers and routers that are used in the country. What I want to prevent, and I know you're an ally in this, is to prevent censorship from making its way to the core of the internet, to making its way to the domain name system. I'll give you an example. There may be some YouTube videos that are highly critical of Putin or some other political leader, and they can block that particular website. They might even be able to block all of YouTube.
They will be able to block it.
They can block it today at their border,
their country.
But they can't make the entire website go dark.
Right.
They don't control the core of the internet.
Right.
And therein lies the concern that you and I have.
Yes.
Is that we worry that the U.S. letting go means that the U.N. and others will grab hold and thereby be able to move the censorship to the core of the web.
And if you want to know about the motivations of the U.N., go study oil for food. The Iraqi oil for food scandal that will take your breath away. It'll chill your blood when you see what they did there. All right, Steve, I want to come back and let's get into the weeds just a little bit. Tell the audience what you're doing right now, what you're having to do right now to forestall this and to try to make some kind of lemonade out of these lemons.
Last March, when the Obama administration announced that it would let go of the contract by the summer of 2015, it presented an incredible sort of vacuum as we decide, we people like you and I, businesses and citizens, academia around the world, had to decide what to design to replace the U.S. stepping out of the role of oversight. And there were a lot of us that were very concerned this was a decision that was made rather impetuously. But I will say this, the administration is not going to completely let go until it knows that we've replaced their role with something else. And that's what I've been working on, Jim.
So you've been trying to help them make something that would suit the motivation of the Obama administration, but also something that would not be completely out of control.
Well, it's really we've taken the opportunity. They say when you're given lemons, make lemonade. And we're going to do our best to make some lemonade out of this. So for the last 8 months, some 100 volunteers have been working in as many as 3 to 4 phone
Steve.
Calls a week. Yeah, exactly. I represent the business community on this group. And we've been having phone calls on all hours of day and night because we're accommodating a global set of volunteers.
Because the people are around the world, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And what we've put in well over 200 meetings, hundreds of thousands of man hours, to design an accountability mechanism so that the private sector, academia, regular citizens, users of the Internet,
mm-hmm.
will have the ability to hold control and accountability over the corporation that's going to be running it. Governments have a role there, Jim, but
right.
there's no way we want governments to have the lion's share.
But will it just be a like a nonprofit, like a global nonprofit floating out there in the ether?
Jim, we haven't changed the fact that ICANN is a nonprofit, but we're going to make sure it stays rooted in California law.
Okay, good.
Public benefit non-law.
Good.
We're going to make sure it has a U.S. presence.
Good.
Legally and otherwise. We're going to make sure that it's accountable to the stakeholders. And the stakeholders are those of us who register domain names, the businesses
right.
that build out the .org.
Right.
Internet users are a huge part of this. And we're going to hold the corporation accountable.
I don't even want to think, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to go to a break here. We're going to talk some more with Steve with this after. Going to let him continue his report. I don't even want to think, my friends, about what our future would be like without this team that Steve just mentioned and his efforts on our behalf. This is statesman stuff.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.